filled with your power and love, there's so much more that we can do. They were the words, really, of the Apostle Paul in the book of Ephesians. He was writing to a church and he wanted them to know there was more than they could possibly imagine. God's love was immeasurably more than they could imagine. But for some of the disciples, this was still a very difficult time. And this is quite a difficult story to understand. To be honest, I've always been a bit confused by it, and I still am a little bit, because it's only described in a very matter-of-fact way. It just says Jesus was taken up into heaven and hidden by a cloud. Now, to me, that would have been an amazing thing. I'd want to write it and tell everybody about it. But we don't have an awful lot of information about this. But Luke, writing in Acts, does tell us what happened. He tells us that Jesus, having come back to life, spent the next 40 days being with other people. And the Bible says that more than 500 different people, different times, different places, saw Jesus alive and well. Sometimes outdoors, sometimes indoors, sometimes in a big group, sometimes on their own, sometimes walking along the road, sometimes fishing on a lake. Many, many times Jesus saw, or people saw Jesus alive and well in those 40 days. And the Bible says that he proved that he was alive by seeing these, by proving to himself, to people, that he was alive, showing him the wounds, showing them marks, talking to them, eating with them, hugging with them. And on one particular occasion, they were having a meal, and Luke says that Jesus was talking to them whilst having this meal. He gave them this command: don't leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John the Baptist baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Filled with God's power and love, there is so much more, is effectively what Jesus was saying. Don't leave Jerusalem, stay here. And so the disciples started asking questions, and this is the Mount of Olives, and this is where this event takes place. And the reason I wanted to say verse 12 at the end, because it says the apostles returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, which was a Sabbath day's walk from the city, about half a mile. It wasn't very far at all. But this is what the Mount of Olives looks like today. And it would have probably looked much like that all those years ago. It wouldn't have been a church at the bottom. That was built fairly recently. And there's a church halfway up. Oh, and there's a church right at the top as well. But actually, the rest of it probably doesn't look much different. It's the same mountain, the same Mount of Olives, that Jesus went from there, from earth, back up into heaven. And Jesus said to his friends, I want you to stay. And they said to him, is now the time, is it now the time when you're going to become the king of Israel and you're going to kick the Romans out and everything's going to be all right again once more? And I don't think they quite understood what Jesus was all about. He said, it's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses, not just here in Jerusalem, but in the whole area of Judea, and then right up there in Samaria. Oh, and by the way, everywhere, to the ends of the earth. When you receive my Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, you will be my witnesses everywhere. Now, if you've been listening to Trevor on YouTube, he speaks about this. I was the one that listened. Yeah, it was me. I was the one. Yeah, he talks about this, and he says they didn't really get a choice in the matter. Jesus just said, you will be my witnesses. And I wonder if he's saying that to us today. In fact, I know he is saying that to us today. You will be my witnesses, not just in Chippenham, but in Wiltshire and throughout the whole earth. Whoa. Well, then the Bible tells us that Jesus was taken up into heaven and was hidden by a cloud. I want to know more. I want to find out at what speed, at what height. And where did he go after that? The Bible just says he's now sat at the right hand of God. But this was the end of his ministry here on earth. And the disciples were being told in just 10 days' time, 9-10 days' time, they were going to receive the Holy Spirit. And so they're on a mountain looking up at Jesus having gone into heaven. That must have been an incredible moment for them. And whilst they're looking up, we're told that two men dressed in white stood and said, "Men of Galilee, why are you looking upwards?" Now, it's interesting that there were two men dressed in white, because Luke wrote this, and Luke also tells us that there was two men dressed in white at the tomb of Jesus when Jesus came alive again. So maybe Luke is saying it was the same two people. Were they angels or were they just men dressed in white? Oh, I'll leave that one for you to work out. But they said, men of Galilee, let me see if I get this right. Why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven. So we've got a hint there that when Jesus returns to this earth, it's going to be from the sky to the earth, just like we were singing earlier on. Whether it happens at the Mount of Olives or somewhere else, I don't know. I do know that lots of people spend a lot of money wanting to be buried on the Mount of Olives because they think that's where the action's going to be. That's where these things are going to happen. But there we go. So these two men say, why are you looking up when actually you need to be still looking down? And this is the thing that gets me, that they were being told to look up and look down, or not being told to look up, but to look around. Jesus had told them to stay in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was down there beneath them. This is what you would see from the Mount of Olives today if you look down on Jerusalem. It doesn't look anything like it would have done 2,000 years ago. You've got the Dome of the Rock in the middle there. You've got a mosque on the left. You've got a wall, but that wall wasn't there, at least not that particular wall wasn't there. Over in the distance, you've got a church, which is the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. That wasn't there 2,000 years ago. But it might have looked a bit like this. Guess what that's made of? Anybody guess what that's made of? That model. Lego. You weren't supposed to know that. How do you know that? It's Lego. It's about 100,000 pieces. And it's a Lego. That's my kind of Lego, okay? If anybody wants to get me a Christmas present. Okay. This was roughly Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. It's not exactly right. There are one or two things in there I don't think are quite right. But this would have been, or might have been, something like the view that the friends of Jesus had. They're being told not to keep on looking up to heaven. But when they look back down on Jerusalem, they're seeing things they don't really like the look of. Right, in the middle, for example, there is the temple. Well, they love the temple, but the temple reminded them of that time when Jesus overturned the tables in the courtyards. When they looked at the temple, they were reminded that how some people were trying to scam the poor people of the area. That when they went up to the temple, they had to have a certain type of money. And the only way they could get this money was to exchange their money for this temple money. And they were being ripped off. It was a scam. It was a complete rip-off. It would have been on TV these days if we'd heard about it. And they'd had TV in those days. It was a complete rip-off. And Jesus overturned the temples and said, don't you dare turn my father's house into a den of thieves. He got really cross. But that's all right. It's okay to get cross about things that really are important. But as the disciples looked down on Jerusalem, they realized that the temple wasn't really that much better now than it was when Jesus did that. It was still corrupt. There were still terrible things happening there. And even though people wanted to worship in the temple, some of the religious leaders were not good people. So they looked down and they thought, oh. And then when they looked up and they thought about Jesus being in heaven, they thought, there are no scams in heaven. There's no corruption in heaven. No one's being ripped off in heaven. Wouldn't it be better if we were there? And then they looked back down again to Jerusalem, where they were told that they should be. And they looked over to the south. And now, have a look at the compass there. It's not quite the normal compass, because you've got west looking up and north looking right and south looking left. And can you see that? So they're looking to the south now of Jerusalem, looking down south, and they can see the Pool of Siloam. Ah, now the Pool of Siloam. That was a place where people would get washed before they went up to the temple, a place called a mikveh, where they would go up to the temple so they could say we're ceremonially clean before God. Even though they weren't, they needed to be clean before God. And this was also the place where Jesus healed a man who'd been born blind. Do you remember that? He put mud on his eyes and told him to go and wash it off. This is the Pool of Siloam. And you can still go and see it today. The Pool of Siloam. Ah, yeah. Now, wouldn't you think everybody would be rejoicing at the idea of a man having been born blind now being able to see? Isn't that brilliant? The disciples remembered just what the religious leaders said. Oh, it's on the Sabbath. Shouldn't happen on the Sabbath. It's a holy day. Nothing like that should happen. What nonsense. Absolute nonsense. And as the disciples looked down on Jerusalem, they thought, this is rubbish. This is absolute nonsense. People have got the priorities wrong. They're not thinking about what really matters. And so they looked down at Jerusalem, and then they looked back up to heaven and thought about Jesus sitting at the right hand of God. in a place where people know what the right priorities are, where people are worshipping God day in and day out. And imagine over 1,000 tongues, what about 1,000,000 tongues singing their praises to God? Wouldn't that be better if they were there? Why didn't Jesus take them to be with him now? Why did he tell them to wait in Jerusalem and to look down? And still, they looked down on Jerusalem. This time, they looked down beneath them. Just before the Kidron Valley and just before the wall, you could see the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh dear, when they looked at the Garden of Gethsemane, they felt such shame. They felt terrible. Because this was the place where Jesus prayed on his own, and he was in such distress that the Bible says that he sweated like blood almost. And he was so worried about, or so concerned about what was going to happen to him. And when the Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus, everybody abandoned Jesus. Oh, the shame they felt. How terrible they felt. Oh, what a terrible place the Garden of Gethsemane must feel to them right now as they look down and remember what happened there. And then they look up and they think about heaven being a place where there's no shame, no guilt, because everybody there's been forgiven. And no one's doing anything wrong anymore because they can't. And they don't want to anymore. They're not doing anything wrong. It's the people of Jerusalem and people like us who are doing the wrong things. Why doesn't Jesus take us to be with him now? But no, he says, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. So the disciples look back down again and they look over to the north of the city. Now, this is a bit of a guess. We don't know exactly where this happened, but we know about Pontius Pilate. And we know that Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor and who had a choice to make, either to free Barabbas, who was a murderer, or to free Jesus. And this is a very famous painting. Remind me, it's called Ecce Homo, is it? Behold the man, is that right? Behold the man. And you can see Pilate saying, look, Jesus has done nothing wrong. I can't find anything to convict him. Why are you asking me to crucify him? Barabbas is the one I should be killing. Jesus I should be releasing. And the crowd said, no, crucify Jesus, free Barabbas. And Pilate washed his hands of the situation. There was no justice here. This was completely unfair. There was no righteousness here. There was all wrong. Everything was wrong. And when the disciples looked to the north of the city, they were reminded of that terrible injustice of Jesus being sentenced to death. And then they looked up to heaven. And they thought, there's no injustice there. There's no wrongdoing there. No one's saying it's unfair, because it's not unfair. Everyone is now in the presence of their Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful place that must be. Why? Why didn't Jesus take the disciples to go with him? But no, he said, stay in Jerusalem. And as the disciples looked back down in Jerusalem, they looked over to the west and they saw the place Golgotha, the place of the skull where Jesus had died on that first Good Friday. They also could see that probably the tomb where he'd been put into the tomb and how he'd risen again. But they felt such sadness when they thought of the pain and the suffering Jesus must have gone through for those 6 hours that he was on the cross. It must have been totally humiliating and exhausting and horrible, really horrible. And they remember the sense of bewilderment, that the sense of despair, the lack of hope that they now felt, or that they felt when they saw Jesus on the cross. And yes, Jesus had come alive again, and great, it was brilliant spending all this time with Jesus for 40 days. But when they looked up, they wanted to spend more time with Jesus. They wanted to be with him. They didn't want to be in Jerusalem. And yet Jesus told them that's where they needed to be. That's exactly where they needed to be. They needed to be there for the next few days, for the next 9 or 10 days. Jesus said, wait here in Jerusalem. Don't go back to Galilee. Wait here until my Holy Spirit comes upon you. And I'm not going to spoil whoever's speaking next week's talk. But it really came in power. When God's Holy Spirit came to be with the disciples, their lives were changed forever. And that was why Jesus wanted them to stay in Jerusalem. That's why he wanted them to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, in the whole world. And it's why he wants us to be his witnesses in Chippenham and in Wiltshire and in the UK and around the world. We might want to look up and we might want to think about how wonderful it must be to actually be able to see Jesus with our eyes. To know that he is with us, to know that we are in his presence, to be in a place where no one sins anymore, to be in a place where there's no injustice, no violence, no conflict, no wars, no dictators, no one telling us what we should and shouldn't do and they're wrong. Instead, We're just in the presence of Jesus. That must be wonderful. But right now, he wants us to look down and around, to receive his Holy Spirit and to be his witnesses where we are. Sometimes we need to look up and to be inspired by what the future holds for those of us who love him and who put our trust in him. Whether it's something that's going to happen very soon or something that may happen in many, many years' time, we don't know. Whether we come to the end of our lives or whether Jesus returns and takes us to be with him, that will be fantastic. We have hope for the future, but we need to look down and around and work in the present, because the Holy Spirit is there for us, the very presence of Jesus with us day in and day out.